because Lloyd has some really remarkable children. I've met them, and I'm really impressed with both of them. I think they adopted them. He didn't hear that, did he? It just went over his head, didn't it? Oh, Lloyd, I'm so sorry about last week. Say that again?
Oh, that's okay. What, your phone didn't ring?
No comment. No comment at all, please. You know, I'm just learning how to. A friend of mine says, I'm learning how to hum.
By the way, Kate, via Blog Talk, you're talking all over the planet, so.
Oh, yay!
You got a pretty good-sized platform here.
Awesome.
When we were on up at 600 up in Youngstown, we had callers from all over the world.
Oh, wow. That's neat.
So we're rebuilding now.
We are rebuilding.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
In fact, Tracy got a proposal from a guy in England.
You know what?
There you go.
No. You don't understand. I don't understand what it is.
Yeah.
The men that actually propose and show up, I don't know where they come from. And the ones that you would think that would, I don't just understand. I don't, you know. Do you have one of these? You know what these are? Can you see that? Oh, I can't do it. This is how they do it on the internet.
That's a 10-week-old.
Yeah. I want to talk about that, too. I don't know how long we have you on. But, again, this is a casual conversation, just a girlfriend, guy friend, hey, let's talk about abortion. And we are live on Blog Talk, but we use it as a phone source so that we can really get into a lot, family health. So, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, those baby models are really remarkable. We actually have them from, I think, 2 weeks, just all the way up to, I think, 35 weeks. And the way that we develop in the womb is so miraculous.
That's for live radio. Mm-mm, that's not for pre-conversation. No. Don't cheat, because you can't bring it out twice. Mm-mm. We have to have real authentic. So don't cheat. No cheating.
All right, I got it.
No cheating. That's for live. And we will, as soon as I hear somebody in my ear, in a minute. But I know they can hear us and we can hear them, and I'm just so happy because things are working so well today. I hear you. That's all I need to hear. Oh, God, I can hear. Thank you, Jesus. No, I do not. I hear you. I never hear the feed. I do now.
Awesome.
It's not me. It's not me. As long as it's not me, because everything today has been me. Kate, I have my engineer talking to me in my ear. Okay, I'm having a hot flash. It's coming off.
I just had one of those.
They've got to go away. When I see Eve, I got questions, because that wasn't in the Bible.
I know, right?
That's not in the Bible.
I agree.
Trail was in the Bible.
It's not.
But this was not in the Bible. And I got to find out this was not in the Bible.
Why?
You could have pre-warned us. I'd have done better. I'd have lived better.
That's true. Oh, I remember my mom telling me about having hot flashes, and I was like, yeah, whatever. And now I have them. I'm like, I'm dying.
everywhere.
I have a ceiling fan on.
I got one up here. I got here.
Yes, I understand completely.
Just say Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Mm. Life. Life.
Yep. You brought up Eve. I was actually in labor with my last child, and I decided to go completely all natural with no pain, meds, nothing. And while I was doing it, I'm like, I was mad, and I was mad at Eve. I'm like, why? Like, I was so mad at her.
Hey, we're getting ready to come up in a few minutes.
Afterwards.
Hold on.
All right, awesome.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Talk Connection with Tracy and Friends. I am Tracy Winbush, and I have a friend of mine. Her name is Kate Flowers, and she's from the Heartbeat from Columbiana. And I have also with me Lloyd with me. We call him Sticks. And as you follow us, you'll find out why we call him Sticks, because we thought he was a crazy prepper, but after post-COVID, we, like, called him on the phone and said, hey, we need some help. So, you know, preppers are no longer crazy. But what we're talking about today, it's going to be a serious, non-serious, emotional, non-emotional, loving conversation about life. And I call this the heartbeat of the unborn, because sometimes we feel disassociated from things because it's not our problem. And you really don't, I don't have children of my own. I'm not born children. So you ask me, so why do you care? And those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, we care because we have the heart of God. And God made us in the image and likeness of him, and we're here to protect others, one another. We need each other. It's not good for man to be all by himself. And so with the responsibility of this, he gave us the ability to procreate. And man has now used it as a weapon of destruction. And we need to talk about the lives that get destroyed by the weapon of a simple heartbeat. And so I have Kate. She's with me from Heartbeat of Columbiana. And I asked her earlier about what's the difference in, because I thought they were all the same. And so I'm going to bring her in. I'm going to ask her to tell you who she is, what she's about, and the difference between Heartbeat of Columbiana, Heartbeat of International, Heartbeat. How many heartbeats do we have? And why are we there? And are they working interconnected, and what they do? So good afternoon, Kate. How are you?
Oh, hello, Tracy. I'm wonderful. It's awesome to be on here with you today.
So tell us.
So, okay. So, you know, you say, you know, how many heartbeats are there? There's one heartbeat, and we all beat for life. Heartbeat International is a international company, and they are kind of like the place where everyone comes together in the pro-life movement almost, the glue that connects us all together. They've been around for over 50 years. They're pretty awesome. They're based out of Columbus, Ohio. And we are affiliated with Heartbeat, but we are our own separate ministry. We're our own separate 501c. And Heartbeat of Columbiana County, we've been around in the area for over 40 years, and we like to empower women. We like to share the hope and love of Christ so effectively that every woman is empowered to choose life for her child. We have multiple different services. It's pretty cool. I've been the executive director for a little over 2 years now, and it has changed my life. Pretty neat.
You said that you guys have been around for about 40 years?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We've been in the East Liverpool area. We started off as the Potter's Pregnancy Center, and we've changed to Heartbeat of Columbiana County and have several different ministries under that umbrella.
So let's talk about this. What do you do? Because I think maybe we don't understand and we don't know what you do and who you are. What do you guys really do there? What do you? You're not. What are you? A family planning center? What do you do? What? Who goes to you? Do I go to you? I'm 58. I don't want kids. Do I come?
Well, you can come and you can help if you'd like to volunteer. So what we do is in 2017, we actually went medical, and we do have a crisis pregnancy center. So women in the area, they'll be on their phone and they'll Google, you know, pregnancy centers near me, or they'll Google abortion clinics near me. And we have Google Ads that bring our center up, and women can come in, they get a free pregnancy test, and if it's a positive pregnancy test, they're offered a free ultrasound. It's a limited ultrasound. We do gestational age, we do viability of the pregnancy, and then we also offer STD testing to these women as well, and it's pretty cool. We provide all free to the women because we have really amazing donors that allow that. We have a completely trained, licensed medical staff. And then our second part of our ministry is our Cornerstone Parenting Center, which is resources for people who choose to be in the parenting program. It's an Earn While You Learn program. And we use BrightCourse, which is really awesome. They have these really cool videos that their parenting coach will assign to them that has to do with what they're going through in their life. And if mom comes to us in her first trimester, by the time she has baby, she should have everything she needs for free that she's earned through the program. So that's a pretty incredible program as well. And then our third part of our ministry is our Freedom and Surrender, which is post-abortive healing that we offer, and that's a really amazing program. That program we just opened up a couple of years ago, and we had 9 women go through the program this year alone, and the healing that these women receive through that is just significant. It's beautiful to see lives change through God through that. So far, that's what we offer.
That's quite a bit. So that's a lot. That's a lot of programming. When it comes to women today, and there's a lot of conversation about Roe versus Wade and abortion and family planning and life, and are we doing anything about promiscuity?
Yes, I actually go into the school system, and it's a pregnancy prevention program in the state of Ohio. Abstinence is supposed to be taught in the schools as the number one best way to prevent pregnancy and the spread of STDs and STIs. So I've been able to get into one school system so far, and it's a private Christian school. And that's kind of something I'm passionate about, is talking to teenagers about the risks that they take health-wise.
But even the emotion, as a grown woman, as the emotional trauma that you get into when you begin to have sex, and you are trying to find yourself, and during the process of trying to find yourself, the interruptions of babies and pregnancies and STDs, a lot of people don't, especially in Christendom, we don't talk openly, but we watch movies and in school. We watch movies. We listen to music. We know what's going on around us. We may not engage, but we don't have a whole lot of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a dilemma that we need to come out of in this century, because our young people need to hear us have healthy conversations about healthy things that happen naturally.
Absolutely. I grew up in a home where my parents were not Christians before they started having children. By the time they had me, they were. And my parents never lied to me about their past. They never went into great detail, but they never lied to me. And I love that about that, because they were just real. And so it's been very, very easy for me to be very real with my children, and to be, I've been a youth sponsor with different youth groups, and it's been very easy for me to just be very open with it. And I mean, if you talk statistically and if you talk scientifically and medically about being promiscuous and having sex with someone, you chemically bond yourself with somebody scientifically. And, you know, every time you remove yourself from that person, it is, you're literally chemically bonded with them. So it's just very dangerous. And our world, you know, sex sells. And so you can't hardly watch anything on television nowadays where people aren't having sexual relations and, you know, all different types of sexual relationships. And it's dangerous for your body. It really is.
And that's what I'm saying. We have these conversations about family planning. But if you look at most pregnancies, mm-hmm. they come unplanned.
Oh, that's true.
So... And so if we're going to talk about family planning, and let's talk about this, and let's be real about it so our kids and our young people can have an engagement and a realistic view, because we've all been there. We don't lie. We just don't tell. But they learn from outside sources. And today's outside sources
absolutely.
Are now feeding them things that I did not realize could be said.
Mm-hmm.
And so here at Talk Connection and Tracy and Friends, we want to lay it on the table a little bit. So when you talk about family planning, I need for young people to not have to plan the family in a healthy structure that God ordained, so that there's not so many layers of blendedness.
Absolutely. I think it comes down, honestly, Tracy, to where are they finding their identity? You know, are they finding their identity in Christ, or are they trying to find their identity in what they think everybody else thinks that they should be? And they're two very, very different things. You know, when you're a teenager, you don't know. I mean, most people don't know. I was very blessed to be raised in a good Christian home. And my dad, one of the things that he taught me was that if you want to be an individual, the best way to do that is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think we fail our children, even in the churches, I think we're failing them by not teaching them to find their identity in Christ. And it's very, I mean, once you place Christ first in your life, everything else will fall in place after that. And you know, teaching these children that they have self-worth, even if they're, you know, they're searching for someone. And all these children are coming from broken homes. They're coming, I mean, the average divorce rate is, what, 43% now? I mean, it's high. It's 53%.
It's high.
And then you've got the cohabitation rate to go along with that.
Exactly. So you have, you know, you have these people who are so... they're searching for something, and what they're genuinely searching for is Christ, and they're trying to find it everywhere else but through Christ. And, you know, teaching them and empowering women to find their identity genuinely through Christ is what we really need to be doing.
So when I
well, also, correct me if I'm wrong, Kate, a lot of times I see a lot of men don't pay the attention to their daughters that they should.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I always taught our daughter, I always said, don't let anybody steal your dreams.
But let me ask this, Sticks. Is it because men don't know how to engage with women? Because remember, right now we have a huge population of families who don't have a fathers in the home, black and white. Huge.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that engagement, and remember, cohabitating – and or getting along with your ex is not easy, especially when children are involved and you got passions involved, and you exit and they scatter. And when they scatter, they just say, you know what, I'll pick up with my kid later on, but I won't deal with the baggage. And when they walk away from the little girl and the little boy too. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go find a boyfriend, and hopefully he's a decent boyfriend, who will fulfill that place. And they may, and they don't know that kid because they're not that kid's father. They love the kid, maybe, we hope. But you see a lot of this going on right now, people trying to make fit of a family because they didn't do it the correct way the first time.
I think that, you know, that's what the whole Boys and Girls Club is about, is, you know, taking these children who don't have that male representation or that female representation in their life. That's what, you know, programs like that are about. That's, you know, the church needs to stand up, and we need to start helping these families, and we need to start, you know, having men who are in the church who genuinely care about these children and stepping up and being represented. And, you know, and I think too, I think, you know, I've seen a shift where women are leaving their husbands and their children. And, you know, there's a lot of that going on as well. So I think as a church in general, you know, we're supposed to love the widows and the orphans. And, you know, we need to step up as the men and the women in the church, and we need to take responsibility and bring these people under our wing and help them. And that's, you know, it's about Christ's love.
Coming to the Columbiana, the heartbeat of Columbiana, what, how old is too old? How young is too young? Because, you know, old people have kids now by accident.
Oh, that is very true. You know, there's no age bracket. We, you know, we have women come in who are, you know, teenagers with their grandma. We also have 40-some-year-old women who have those surprises in midlife. So there really is no demographic. It's all ages. It's all
what do I expect? What do I expect when I come in? Because remember, as a woman, we're very strong and very timid at the same time. And so I am woman. Hear me roar. I can take care of anything. But when it comes to, I think I'm pregnant. I am pregnant. I wasn't expecting this. We're a little bit weird.
Yes. You know, you get the mixture of emotions. We have obviously abortion-minded women who are coming in our doors. And when you walk into our medical center, you're walking into a calm, you know, our whole point is for these women to come in and to just pause, because you have so many things going through your mind, especially with an unplanned pregnancy. You know, am I pregnant? Am I not pregnant? What am I going to do? You know, I'm not ready for this. I'm not in a place of life for this. I mean, we have married women who have 3 toddlers at home coming in with their spouse because they, you know, they have no clue what they're going to choose. You know, they don't think that they can take on another child, another mouth to feed. I mean, I've actually, you know, It's you know, our staff is very well trained, and with them coming in, they come in. It's a very peaceful, loving environment, judgment-free, 100% judgment-free. The woman comes in, and, you know, she comes back with our nurse advocate and the nurse. You know, we have the medical everything that we do, procedure that we do that you would go in for a typical OB appointment, and you come in, and the nurse sits down with you, asks you where you're at in, you know, your life, and genuinely they care for you. And then you have a pregnancy test. If it's positive, we ask you if you would mind coming in and doing a ultrasound. And in that ultrasound room, you know, the sonographer, you know, it's so cool because they're the first people to see life inside of you other than God. It's kind of neat. And, you know, the nurse is sitting there with her and through that appointment, and you get a mixture of emotions. You have women who, you know, cry. Crying is very, happens often, because they actually get to see on the monitor the baby. And, you know, our life choices is at 80% at our center. And I think the national average is, or no, we're 90%. The national average, I think, is 75%. And, you know, it's very emotional. We've had women get upset and try to couldn't get out of there fast enough. We've had women who didn't realize that they actually were pregnant, but once you see that heartbeat on that screen, it's very different. We've had women who, you know, were very abortion-minded, and as soon as they see that heartbeat, they choose life for their child. And, you know, and no matter what that woman is going through, that nurse advocate is sitting there with her through the whole entire thing. And if they want and they brought someone with them, they are allowed to invite them back to see the ultrasound as well. And then she comes out, and our nurse advocate actually sits with her and asks her where she's at, and asks if she can pray with her. If they want to, the gospel is offered to them, and, you know, lives are changed and lives are saved. And we have resources. We never, ever, ever refer for abortions, but we have literature that tells you at you know, this gestational age, this is, you know, the procedure that you're going to have to go through, this is how much it's going to cost. And, you know, we never try to sway them one way or the other. We just pour Christ's love on them. And we have hundreds of Avas who have filled out what is that called? They rate us, and we get 5 stars every time. They are like judgment free, so loving, such a professional place to be. We have women refer their friends to us. We have, you know, you name it. But you know, we also have the bad with the good as well. We've had women leaving the door, haven't even left our building yet, and they're trying to find an abortion clinic. So, you know, we have the good along with, but, you know, it's genuinely beautiful. Women come in for completely judgmental free, and, you know, we're just here to help.
The gestation, we were talking before the show, and you were going to go through the process, and I said, stop. Because a lot of times, you know, you see a woman, and you see the outward change. But inside of her, mm-hmm. I'm showing you this little thing that you get at the Canville Fair, and it's a little 10-week baby.
Mm-hmm.
And this little 10-week fetus, this little 10-week baby has ears, a nose, eyes, and a mouth. But you don't pay attention to it because this baby is in the palm of my hand. And you really can't comprehend anything that little, that big being in you because you don't see it when you kill it.
That's correct.
And so when you see the gestational period and the process, you want to talk about that a little bit in detail because it is a phenomenal thing if you ever pay attention.
It's absolutely miraculous. So, you know, you're holding up that little 10-week baby, and the truth is by 12 weeks, a fetus, a human baby, human fetus in the gestation actually has every single thing that it needs. It just needs to develop more. So fingernails are there, hair follicles are there, toenails are there. So, you know, it's absolutely miraculous. You know, I mean, I can go into great detail even about the miracle of conception. 8 minutes after conception, as soon as a human egg is fertilized, there is an actual flash of light. Yes, there is a flash of light. And what it is it's thousands of zinc particles shedding off of the outer shell of that egg so that it can implant itself into the uterine wall.
Really?
And I mean, and oh yeah, it's so cool. It's really cool. You can YouTube it and see it. The first time they ever saw it was on Laboratory Mice.
Tell us what should we YouTube? Because you know, I'm a little geeky.
You just YouTube flash of light at conception. That's
cool.
All you have to YouTube. And they first saw it on laboratory mice, and it took them 5 years to finally get it on camera of humans. And the brighter the light, the more viable the egg is. So cool. Yeah. And so, you know, just the miracle alone of how we are made is so incredible. It's amazing. It would take me more than an hour to talk about it.
So, before we go any further, tell us how do we find Heartbeat of Columbian besides Googling it, but tell us how to get in contact with you, Kate.
Okay, so you can always go to our website, which is www.heartbeatcc.com, and that talks about all of our different ministries that we have. Our phone number is 330-386-3999. And we are located in East Liverpool, Ohio. You know, we were talking about how, you know, the baby is created, how life is created. In that instant, with that flash of light, in that exact second, there's a separate DNA structure that is there inside of that egg. So that's kind of cool, too. And, you know, that's what makes us an individual, is our DNA. And, I know, it's really legit cool, yeah. And you know, detectable, a heartbeat average to hear and see a heartbeat is 6 weeks. At our center, we've actually had five weeks, 3 days where we've been able to detect a heartbeat. So most women usually don't realize that they're pregnant until 6 weeks. So it's kind of neat how God puts that heart there very early.
Let me ask you this.
To
I'm just going
to
throw this out there because I'm controversial. That's what I do. But I think we know.
Okay.
I think we know at conception. We just don't acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave it right there, and I won't go any further until we have girls' night out and we actually have a conversation. Because I think we know. We just don't want to know, and it just that's not what
oh,
I
yeah,
want.
Oh yeah, we're in denial.
As women, we need to come out of that, because I don't think it's a good trait to have as a godly woman. And we have to be real with ourselves. To thine own self be true. And we teach our young ladies to go into denial, because we do it about a lot of things, not just this. And until we come out of denial and start facing the truth head on, because the Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we need to speak truth to life and life to truth. And we need to be truthful about who we are, whose we are, and our flaws and our abilities, so that we can
Absolutely.
Be a better whole person. Because people who are promiscuous, who look at ending life soon and abortions, it comes from a lower self-esteem and a lower self-value than those who know who they are, whose they are, and what God has for them.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I love how you said that. Every time my children go and they're away from me, I always tell them, remember who you are and whose you are.
Yeah.
So, and that's so true. You know, self-worth is so important. Very, very important.
Because the devaluing of myself causes me to abort a child.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because it takes a lot to have that life and not want to covet that life and protect that life as a mama. Because real mothers, if you look at the creatures, they're very protective of their children until we get to the us as men and women. Now we're like, well, we'll just kill it if we don't want it.
It's absolutely. You know, I think too, a lot of women buy into the lie that it's just a clump of cells. You know, I actually have a friend who devastatingly this week had a miscarriage at 13 and a half weeks. And when she called the doctor to have her procedure done, to have the baby removed from her body, he actually referred to it as tissue. And she was very offended by that. She was like, well, I wouldn't say offended. She was hurt by that, because she's like, this is my child that I'm joyful that I was able to hold for as long as God allowed me to. And they're referring to it as tissue. So she really, you know, and, you know, I've talked to women who very openly speak about have had abortions. And, you know, most of them struggle with the fact that, well, it's legal, so I figured it was okay. Or, you know, they buy into the lie of it's just a clump of cells, it's not really a life. And, you know, if they actually, you know, I always tell my students when I speak to them, anytime I speak openly about abortion, I'm always like, you know, find the truth and do it on purpose. And if you dig into science and you dig into the fact of the matter is that conception, I mean, like I told you, you know, there is a separate DNA structure. That's what makes us individuals, is our DNA. And, you know, if you're going to deny the fundamental fact that scientifically we've proven that life begins that early, then you're lying to yourself and you're lying to other people. And it's really scary. It really is. And I agree with you. It's denial. Any woman who is sexually active, you know. But I will also say, I have also sat in the room with a woman who had her first baby when she was 15 years old, and had her second one when she was 19 years old. And she had never heard the word estrogen in her life.
I believe that.
So, you know, we're also working with, you know, third, fourth generation people who have no moral compass, and it's not their fault that they haven't been taught. So, you know, there are cases of ignorance, I think, but a lot of times, you know.
Phone line caller, can you hear me?
Yeah, just listening.
All right, good to hear you. How you doing?
Mm-hmm. All right, great.
Hey, thanks for listening in. Hey, Sticks, can you hear that? Sticks, could you hear that?
Yeah,
that's good. You know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
Phone calls are working. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take much time for me to get happy because I've been working so long.
You don't know how much technical difficulty we've been having for the last several months. So this
year,
is really...
I'm so happy to hear the voice of a man, and Lord can hear the voice of the man. I'm so happy. It was like the voice. You listen to Tracy and friends. This is Talk Connection, and we're here on WHKW, and we're talking about heartbeats and abortion. So that we have, and I know most of us who are listening to the station agree, but I want to take it a little bit deeper because right now, people want to overturn, and as Kate said, our conversation and our focus, it's not tissue. It, you know, these are not clumps of clay that you pass. It is a flat, it's a life. It's a life. And those of us who are born again, we need to make sure that we let people know that that's a life.
Absolutely.
Because our young people...
Well, just the fact that identical twins have separate fingerprints.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Just by sheer fact that, you know, look at this. I mean,
yeah.
It has ears. And you have to... Mm-hmm. And this is 10 weeks, and it's just as small. You would never recognize it. It's smaller than a golf ball almost.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing about that baby is that when you have an elective medical abortion, there is someone specifically there to count the body parts and make sure that they're all there. So how is that not a human being when you have to count the body parts?
Because we have devalued life. And then we wonder why we have high homicide and death rates. You see what's going on in California. Within 48 hours, we've had two mass shootings by one person. And this has become a common thing because we devalue life.
Plus the drug.
Pardon me?
Plus the drug abuse.
But we devalue life.
Now you've got states that are walking down the path of euthanasia.
We devalue life. We haven't told people to have life and that more abundantly. And actually, as Americans, we've taken hope out of life. If you think about it.
I agree with you.
Because a lot of people have lost a lot of hope. Because when you have hope, you want to live. And right now, people are not hopeful. And somehow we've got to put our hope back into them and take it out of their electronics.
Oh, yeah.
And out of their football.
That's so true.
And out of the amusement. Because we find more hope outside of ourselves than within, and that should not be. Our hope should be inside of us because we should have Jesus Christ and God inside of us. That's our living hope. So that when we have life, we can give life. But right now we've got dead people giving life because they don't have any hope. There's no aspiration. And then we wonder why our children are walking around like zombies. Because there's no zeal. And that's got to stop, especially in the greatest place in the world. And I'm not talking about Disneyland. I'm serious.
I agree with you. This is the land of milk and honey.
That's right.
You know, we have a perfect opportunity right now. I mean, in a lot of other countries, what we're doing right now would be completely illegal, and we'd be risking our lives doing it. So, you know, the freedom of speech is something that, you know, it's the time of being a conservative and being quiet and just sitting back is over. We need to start standing up for what we believe. We need to quit being the silent majority, and we need to step up in faith, and we need to step up and say, listen, you know, what we have been doing to our unborn children and to anybody from the womb to the tomb is wrong. And we need to get back to the moralization of the United States and of humans. Humans in general. We just need to not be afraid to say, you know what, I am pro-life, and you know what, let me have a very in-depth intellectual conversation with you about why, and give them scientific facts. If they don't, even if they don't believe in God, I can talk to them about scientific facts. I actually was in a youth group at 5 o'clock in the morning at a lock-in, and we had a young girl there who believed in evolution, and she said, I base my beliefs on science, and I said, you know what, me too, and she was shocked. She had no clue how to answer me. And so, you know, I was able to have an intellectual conversation with her at 5 o'clock in the morning, I might add. And she she's been messaging my oldest daughter, and they've been talking about, you know, creation and the science behind that. So, I mean, and, you know, my daughter, my 15-year-old, gets fired up when people talk about taking the lives of unborn children. She's like very passionate about the topic. So, but it's, you know, facts. Base your belief system on facts because, you know, science is the study of God's creation, and it's never going to prove him false.
Let me ask you a question. Kate, you're a little bit younger than me because you watched Lloyd's Children?
Yes, I did.
So you have a couple, I've got a couple years on you. Tell me, how did we get to this creationist that people don't, I mean, I have a problem with, I talk about life. We talk about God.
Mm-hmm.
And I have young people now who have no point of reference to God or to life. And so when I go to talk to them about abortion or life, or they're in a whole nother realm. I'm a creationist.
Yes. It comes from, how do I put this in kind words? it comes from us not speaking up sooner. You know, I remember I was in sixth grade and my teacher just happened to be an elder at my church, and he had to teach the evolutionary theory. And what I loved about him is he actually said, you know, this is actually a theory. It is not fact. And he said, and I know that, you know, Kate, he actually pointed me out, which was awesome in sixth grade. He actually pointed out the fact that, you know, this wasn't what we believe, but he had to teach it. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen Ken Ham, who is the founder of the Creation Museum. He actually did a debate with Bill Nye, the Science Guy, over the evolution versus creationism, and which was interesting to watch. But what's really cool is that, you know, creationists actually teach their children the evolutionary theory, because you're going to have to be able to go out in the world and you're going to have to be able to prove that creation is real and that our Earth isn't millions of years old or billions of years old. It's actually only a few thousand years old. And science proves it over and over and over, but they like to hide the facts or change the facts. And finding the genuine, actual, real truth is digging into it. And, you know, the things that you have to dig for the most are the best things to be able to find. And, you know, it's just, it's the same thing with life. God created life. And when you're talking about a child being in the uterus, that is creation of a new life. And so they're one and the same, honestly. So how can you believe that there's an amazing creator out there who genuinely created life and yet still be okay with removing that life from a completely healthy life from its mother's womb, the safest place that it should be? And, you know, so they're one and the same. And, you know, you can't, in my mind, you can't bridge that gap. It's already there.
I'm talking with Kate Flowers from the, hold on Sticks. We're talking with Kate Flowers from the Heartbeat of Columbiana. And we're talking about abortions and right to life and the women's center that they have there in East Liverpool. So that those women who are down that way can find a God-fearing place to go to talk about their sexual health. And sometimes it's better to talk about sexual health when you don't need it or when you're curious about it. And those of us who think we know everything as women, we don't. And so giving them a call, don't be ashamed to be proactive. Because remember, a lot of us were told when we were growing up that children came from storks. And see, and you laugh, but it's real. We have people who were taught in the beginning of when they first were taught the birds and the bees, it was a bird and bee. It came from a stork. You could kiss somebody and get pregnant. there were a lot of things that you were taught, even in the church, that were wrong. We have people we will have people who can't live with each other and cohabitate, married couples, because they don't have sexual conversations. See, we were taught that sex was dirty in a certain, and I'm talking about all, but I'm saying it was a good mix of people who are now blended together, that was taught that sex was bad and sex was nasty and sex was wrong, even though the Bible says the bed was undefiled. And because we're not talking about it, we have experimented to the place where we have experimented off the page. Because the church has not had a conversation about procreation and making sure that it's healthy, because God created us that way.
Agree with you completely.
God created a young man, wakes up, and he is born that way. He doesn't have to think about it, dream about it. He's born that way. And young women, we're born this way, and God made us wonderfully and marvelously. But we have to know what to do with what God gave us in this fantastic body of ours. And it comes from expression of words, communication. We are the only creatures that talk. So we need to go down to Columbia and the Women's Health Center, not because you have a problem, but because you want to be proactive. And maybe you can help them in the meantime.
Oh, yeah, I agree completely. You know, being raised in the church, you're right. Sex is taught that it's a dirty word. And, you know, my husband and I both were raised in the church in good Christian families. And it took us a while to, it took me, I should say me, it took me a while to be comfortable walking into a room after I was married that my dad was in. And, you know, but he was just like, he was happy that I chose well as for a husband. So, but, you know, it is. I agree with you. You know, we need to have the hard conversations. We need to start talking about it.
It's real.
You know, it is. It's very real.
It's real. We all do it. We've all done it. And our kids need to see us having healthy conversations as adults, as born-again believers who love Jesus Christ, who love God.
Absolutely.
It's okay.
I agree.
And then once we do it, then we don't have to worry about mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the second commandment that God gave Adam and Eve, was be fruitful, multiply, and to subdue the earth.
And we're doing it, but in the wrong way. Because Satan got a hold of us. And right now, we are not producing that which we love. Because our young people need to see us. They need to see the Jesus in us. So that we are supposed to be salty. We are salt and light. And right now, the body of Christ, as we see it, is not as salty as we need to be. Because I don't know anybody thirsting after my life or the lives of the believers. And in this day and time, the only thing that's going to save us in this globalization world that we're in right now is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's all we got. I don't know about you guys, but that's all I got. But our kids need to have, they need to have that anchor also. Because in the time of trouble, in the time of need, the anchor that I hold on to most is my faith. And we all go through life, and all of us make mistakes. We've all had miscarriages, abortions, stuff that we shouldn't have done. So, you know, we're all flawed. We don't tell the flaws, but we're flawed. And during the flaw process, you need to have someone, and you need Jesus. But our kids got to find him to where he's real to them.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not this voodoo, spooky, it's not this crazy thing. Jesus is just a faith and a way of life that gives us hope.
Mm-hmm. You know, and he's very real. I think, too, you know, we're so desensitized to a lot of things, especially our young children, with how exposed they are to things, whether we want them to be exposed or not. And, you know, as a homeschool, you know, we spoke before about how I homeschool my children. Even as a homeschooling mom, my children have been exposed to things that I didn't even want them exposed to, simply from other children in places that I thought were safe places. Or, you know, you can't go on the television without, I mean, I literally was watching TV and there was a commercial for HIV medication, and the whole entire commercial, you can imagine what it was like. So, I mean, you can't walk.
You can't guard it.
Watching television. You can't. So you have to guard their hearts before they're exposed to it. And sadly, the conversations that, you know, you have to have, we're having to have at very early ages with our children. And, you know, a lot of people are like, I don't want to remove their innocence from them. They're still innocent. But they are so innocent that they know where to find the actual answers. So it's not removing of their innocence. It's safeguarding their innocence by preparing them and letting them know ahead of time, you know, the world is going to tell you this and they're going to lie to you about this, but here are the facts, here's the truth. And, you know, we have this awesome roadmap book that, you know, was left behind. It's the living word of God. And, you know, use it, teach them how to use it properly.
Amen.
And how to read in context. And, you know, find your self-worth. I think anything it comes down to is teaching someone their self-worth. It really is.
And, you know, I found
and
out.
It's so insidious what they're doing to our children. Our youngest granddaughter has a favorite book, and it's about an owl. And somebody, a friend, bought it for him. And you go through this book, and at the end, you've got an owl, an egg, and the other owl. And our granddaughter, bless her heart, she says, Mommy Owl, Daddy Owl, and Baby Owl. But the book is Owl and Other Owl and Baby Owl. I mean, it's just that little bitty pinprick.
Mm-hmm. And they've done it all along, Sticks, even when we were coming up. I mean, we didn't pay attention to it. You know, the inclusion market, if you look at how things have transitioned over the years, and you see it when you go back and watch some old television and old movies, because you and I are part of the first generation where we've always had a television in our home.
That's right.
So we are a part of that first generation of that. And so we've always had outside information coming in that was not always filtered by our parents, which we see the manifestation of today. Because people have told people their vision. They think that's how people live. And they told them a false lie.
Oh, yeah.
Because what was on TV, even though it looks real, people embrace it as real. And they can't separate fiction from nonfiction. And it's just a trick of the brain.
So I can't remember who I was reading. But they recommend that you do not allow your children to have any screen time whatsoever until they're 10 years old.
Oh, I
can agree with that.
They can't, even television, because they can't differentiate between looking out the window and what they're seeing on television. They think it's the same thing.
Your brain isn't developing.
And even as adults, I mean, you have to be careful of what documentary you watch and which one you read and which one you know, because you will collide your facts, and it'll become a new story altogether. I know with
Absolutely.
Me it does. I have to be careful. I can't watch a lot of Bible movies that are dramatized because it screws up the actual word when you go to preach it, and you will add something to it that's not there based upon what Moses said, and he wasn't there.
Right.
Yul Brynner?
The Ten Commandments wasn't accurate, Tracy.
The Ten Commandments was very accurate, but Yul, what was his name?
Charlton Heston.
You know, and they were a little bit off. They had some issues. But we take it as fact.
Some creative liberties.
Yes. Yes.
Well, and I'm gonna rat your mom out, Kate.
Uh-oh.
I know that your dad has said more than once that she will not watch The Chosen.
Right.
Question: what? Tell me, why will you not watch The Chosen? Because I haven't watched it. I heard about it. What is it, and what's up with that? Why won't you watch it?
So they add a lot of creative freedoms, creative liberties in this show, which I've heard good and bad on it. I've heard a lot of people say they love it because it kind of shows the personalities of what they think that the disciples would have been like. It makes them more real. But at the same time, you know, all scripture is God-breathed and God-inspired. So, you know, you need to be tread very carefully on not adding to and taking from the point of the word. And, you know, these were real people who walked this planet, and I'm sure that they had very different personalities because, you know, we're all one body and we all have different purposes. But at the same time, as Christians and as followers, we need to be very careful with how we tread.
Yes, I agree.
It's a very
slippery slope, because it only takes one little inch to change the content of one saying, and you've got to be careful with that.
yeah. Well, that's, you know, my dad worked for a car company for years, and he's a drafter and a designer. He said, you know, if we have one measurement that's off by, you know, a millimeter, you know, he's like, then all of a sudden your bumper isn't fitting onto your car right.
That's good.
So he's like, so it's so true. You know, you have one little minuscule thing off that's not according to God's word, then, you know, you find yourself, and, you know, and as teachers, we're held, you know, to a different standard than others. So we have to be very careful.
And life is precise.
Well,
by God.
I was unaware the other day that Dallas Jenkins is actually Jerry Jenkins' son. Dallas Jenkins is the producer of The Chosen. Jerry Jenkins was the one who wrote the
Left Behind series. Well, I will say this. I've read the whole Left Behind series, and now that we're walking in Left Behind, I think there was a great book. But it ain't nowhere close what I thought. I mean, don't get me wrong. I want you to understand, I have read the whole series, watched the movies a couple times, but the things that I thought are not true and the things I didn't know, I'm walking in real life Bible. And so now that we know that we're walking in the Bible more so than reading it, we've got to take it as the roadmap. And I want to thank Kate. I want to thank Lori for making this happen. I want to thank Kate, WHKW. I want to thank Josh and the people at Salem Communications. You don't know how great they are until you know who they are. It is going to get bigger, better, and greater. Talk Connection. And it's not about us. It's about information and you. It's about God. Because we're all going through the same thing the same way, just different paths. And only the way they're going to make it is with God and with one another, because we need each other. We are the body of Christ. I need Kate's information about family health and women's health so that I can feel better about who I am. Because if we don't feel better, we'll never get better, and we can't make our future better. I want to thank you, Kate. Thank you, Lloyd. We appreciate you. We're going off of WHKW. If you're listening to us on Facebook, StreamYard, and anywhere out there on social media, you can check us out in a few minutes. Blog Talk, if you want to call in, you can always do that at 515-602-9695, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Kate, any final comments?
Oh, you know, find your truth and find the truth and do it on purpose. And, you know, the only way that you're going to reach people and reach their hearts is to show them Christ's love.
Now, Lloyd, you know Kate. And so you want to talk about abortion. Ain't you a man? We know we lie, so be careful.
That's on my chest.
So, Lloyd, what do you want to say to the men out there who disregard?
I'm just going to go back to what Kate has said over and over and over again. It's basic biology that life begins at conception. And anybody who doesn't understand it or doesn't believe that's just lying to themselves.
No, but Sticks, see, men say, I'm not going to discuss abortion because it's a woman's issue. And I've heard this conversation. So you'll sit down and be talking to men and be like, oh, no, that's a woman's issue. I just let them talk about it. Now, the legislators are all men. Everybody who's going to sign it into law has been all men. But when we go to have a conversation with it about men and with men, they say, oh, that's a woman's issue. We're going to let them deal with that on their own.
No, I've never felt that because it takes two people to make a baby. And I believe each party has the same amount of responsibility for that child. And I've always felt that way.
I think also the father has just as much right to the health of that child.
Absolutely.
Now, Kate, I have a question for you. When it comes to men and women, I believe that men should have a right or a say in the life of that child.
Absolutely.
Because it takes two to make.
Right.
And one to carry and two to raise.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow we don't give men the opportunity to have say a lot of times, even when we're married to them, in our health. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Because we don't even take it to them. Women go and get aborted. They go get abortion. They go and make plans. They may or may not even discuss it with their spouse or their husband.
I actually have close friends who are since then married and have had a significantly large amount of children, but she found out she was pregnant before they were married, and they both were not Christians at the time, and she decided to have an abortion, and you know, he was very devastated about that. I know several people who have spoken to me, men who have spoken to me about finding out years later that their significant other at the time had an abortion. And, you know, I know that in the state of Ohio, going the other direction, that it's illegal for anyone to pressure somebody else into forcing them to have an abortion. If they're under the age of 18, it's actually considered child abuse in the state of Ohio to force someone to have an unwanted abortion. But there are men are just as devastated, and men are just as hurt by people, women choosing to abort children without them saying anything about it. But I agree with you. I think the man should have to, the father of the child should have to be there. And legally, I mean, he needs to be able to have a voice in that. So, you know, the heartbeat bill has been put on hold in the state of Ohio, which means after a heartbeat is detected, it's illegal to have an elective abortion. But, you know, if there's a heartbeat there, now it's illegal. So both parties, you know, there really isn't an option there. But before that, now, I mean, you're at 20 weeks, and I agree, men are just as devastated and just as upset when a child is aborted when they did not, when they wanted to keep that child.
And because I've had friends, and I say this as we go to close, and I put this out there because, men, you're very, very important to the life of the family, more important
Absolutely.
Than the world wants you to know, because without you, there's no vision and direction. And when it comes to children, we need for you to understand, we need your vision so that you can help us fulfill the vision so our kids can be implemented a part of the vision. And when we take things into our own hands, there have been men who, that was the only child that they actually sired. They didn't have any more, and they had no say. And I say this, be wise on the front end, so that you don't have to be questioning on the back end. And that's just from my own personal experiences.
I agree.
And we need, and I say this, we need to teach our young people, you don't lay down with every dog, even if he's pretty.
It's true. So true. Sometimes the pretty ones are the most dangerous, if you know what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. Kate, thank you.
You don't know how many other women that he's been with, because, listen, STDs and STIs are very, very real.
And they are, and they're more so now. When you hear the rate, you talked about commercials. When you hear commercials on television, that means that there's a population that's out there that needs that type of prescription. There's a mathematical algorithm that blends to their commercials for marketing. So when they market in your market and they have HIV, that means there's a high HIV population in your community.
Yeah.
And so we need to understand HIV, STD, they're all the same. All of it bad.
Yes.
And just because it won't kill you, sometimes you just want to be dead. It is what it is. And so I say this because we need to really bring this out. There's a lot out there. And please be cautious, be mindful, be wise, and know who you are. Because if you know who you are, you just won't roll around in the dirt. And young ladies, you know, seriously, women, not young ladies, because I call myself young too. I'm in the same pool. And most of us, a lot of us right now are single. Or we're in relationships with someone who we are not cohabitating as the fairy tale that we thought we'd be in. And so we are fantasizing about something that we don't have instead of working on who we are in God And if you work on who you are in God, he will fix everything else around you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
At this day and age, you know, I think you know, being single is not a bad thing. It isn't. And, I mean, it's easier to be single financially now than it used to be. No, not easier. Okay, I'm wrong on that one.
Well,
then.
Let me say this.
But
it is easier to be easier to be single now if you have children. If you are single with no children because you have no additional benefits. But that's because we move into a socialist population and mindset.
Yes, I would agree.
And so we need to make sure that we don't get into that mindset just because you are single. We need to make sure we have single people who can work their ways into families. But the world doesn't want us to be married and have families because they're anti-God.
That is true. They are very anti-God.
Yeah. Guys, thank you, Kate. Thank you for your hour. Lloyd, thank you so much. Next Tuesday, Lloyd, we'll see you then.
I'll be there.
You got to come up and see the studio.
Yeah,
the phone's
gonna ring.
What?
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you. You have my number. You have how to reach me. If you can't reach me, you can reach me through Lloyd. You're always welcome to come and hang out